Good morning and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And without any further ado, I'd like to give you a quick intro of what we're all about. Live on 89.5, broadcasting from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange, I'd like to begin by saying music like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain and see the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest Moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. it's time for everyone to wake up. And now I'd like for our student host to introduce himself and take the lead.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. And we are here this Saturday morning. And, you know, we have the whole crew with us for today. I want to introduce Ms. Tanisha Gardner, Mr. Shelton Harris, Mr. Chris Lynch, and also the one and only Mr. Richard Bombay, and your student host, again, Walter Pierce. Now, to start off today's show, we're going to start off with Chains of Events. Chains of Events is an interpretation of news at its effects in the minority community from the alloys of North on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Chains of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another, and that the listener will know what's happening. Now, without any further ado, I would like to introduce Mr. Richard Bombay for Chains of Events. Take it away.
All right. Thank you very much for that introduction. Today, when I talk about the Chains of Events, I want to take us all back to 1968, February 29th, 1968. The President's National Advisory Committee. What president, you might ask? Lyndon B. Johnson. Well, the President's Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders, known as the Kerner Commission, releases its report condemning racism as a primary cause of recent surge of riots. Headed by Governor Otto Kerner of Illinois, the 11-member commission was appointed by the President Lyndon B. Johnson. In July of 1967, to uncover the causes of urban riots and recommend solutions, the report, which declared that our nation is moving toward two societies, one black, one white, separate and unequal, called to expand aid to African American communities in order to prevent further racial violence and polarization. Unless drastic and costly remedies were undertaken at once, the report said, continuing polarization of the American community, ultimately the destruction of basic democratic values. Now, I do need to remind you that this report was written in 1968. It is now today 2021. And we have seen some of the disparities which are spoken about in this particular document come to rise, to surface today in our society in 2021. But let me conclude by saying the report identified more than 150 riots and major disorders between 1965 and 1968, including the deadly Newark and Detroit riots, and blamed white racism for sparking the violence, not a conspiracy by African American political groups, as some had claimed. Now, stats for 1967 alone included 83 people killed, 1,800 injured, and the majority of them African American, and the property value at more than $100 million damaged and destroyed. Now, as we look at today's society and what's going on currently in our communities and more specifically in our capital, we see not just something new about racism in America, but something that has not been dealt with. The disparities that were spoken about in this particular article provided by the History Network, which I thank so much for the information, just basically says something that everyone in communities of color throughout this country already know. Racism never went anyplace. It's never gone to bed, never been put to sleep. It's never been eradicated. And now, this is what we see in 2021. I conclude. I'm done. Walter, I hand it back to you.
Yes, thank you for doing that. And now to transition, I would like to transition into my next piece, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for my diamond, my first diamond for today, I would like to talk about Jesse Jackson. And a little bit about Jesse Jackson, you know, he's somebody who advocated for African Americans' civil rights in America. And he was also one of the people who, you know, was very helpful and very was right by the side of Dr. Martin Luther King throughout most of his movements and helping him make most of his decisions. So, you know, I would like to really talk about the man who really helped a lot of people in this country. And again, his name is Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson is the name of his stepfather, Charles Jackson, at about age 15. A good student in high school, Jesse was elected class president and later attended the University of Illinois on a football scholarship. He then transferred to the predominantly black agricultural and technical college of North Carolina in Greensboro and received a bachelor's in sociology. He moved to Chicago in 1966, and he did graduate work at the Chicago Theological Seminary and was ordained a Baptist minister in 1968. While an undergraduate, Jackson became involved in the civil rights movement. In 1965, he went to Selma, Alabama to march with Martin Luther King Jr. and became a worker in King's Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC. Jackson helped found the Chicago branch of Operation Breadbasket, the economic arm of SCLC, in 1966, and served as the organization's national director from 1967 to 1971. He was in Memphis, Tennessee, with King when the civil rights leader was assassinated on April 4, 1968. Though his exact location at the moment King was shot has been a long matter of controversy. He was then accused of using SCLC for personal gain, and Jackson was suspended by the organization, whereupon he formally resigned in 1971. And, you know, a few other things that he did to help the community, our community in America, you know, he founded the PUSH and the National Rainbow Coalition. And those organizations both basically helped advocate for black self-help and also give equal rights to African Americans, homosexuals, and women. And later, you know, he will go travel across the world to go help and deal with problems dealing with the other countries, including South Africa, where he went to go speak out against the discrimination of non-white people in the country. You know, even going to places like Israel, the Middle East, to go help assist and, you know, give help to, you know, with all the war and all the destruction going on over there, you know, he went over and went to go help them out as well. So, you know, just in conclusion, you know, Jesse Jackson, as you see here, not only was he somebody who helped assist Dr. King and his movement, but also he started his own when he started these organizations and started going abroad and dealing with not just the problems of our community, but of others. He expanded his help to others that needed it as well. So, you know, shout out to Jesse Jackson for that. And, you know, he's still currently with us, you know, he's, I believe he's like 74 right now. So it just speaks to, you know, how long ago. This is not really too much in the past, but, you know, he's still living. And, you know, just again, shout out to Jesse Jackson.
Okay. Now, before we continue on to our next segment, I'd like to say that our next segment is going to be Curtains, featuring Mr. Shelton Harris. But before we do, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall.
Da 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 Curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. Many artists and companies have grown rich from the support of our community. But what benefits has the community gained from our artists? Today we pull back the curtain on songwriter extraordinaire, Kenny Gamble. He was the principal architect behind the Philly Soul Sound, one of the most influential musical developments in the 1970s, and also one of the most popular. Born in Philly in 1943, he first teamed with Leon Huff during the late 50s as a member of the harmony group The Romeos, a unit that included another aspiring musician named Tom Bell, who would become crucial to Gamble's later success. In 1967, he scored his first top five pop hit with the Soul Survivors called Expressway to Your Heart. He also scored smash hits with Archie Bell and the Durrells, Jerry Butler, along with a few others. His success on labels at Atlantic and Chess prompted him to contact with Columbia Records in the hopes of opening an affiliate company, one inspired by the continued success of Barry Gordy and Motown. Columbia Records agreed, and in 1970, Philadelphia International Records was born. Philadelphia International soon exploded into a national musical consciousness, selling some 10 million records in the span of just 9 months, thanks to monster hits including Billy Paul's Me and Mrs. Jones, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, If You Don't Know Me By Now, and the OJ's Backstabbers and Love Train. He, along with fellow collaborator Leon Huff, emerged as the definitive sound in the early 70s and became the blueprint for the rise of disco during the latter half of that decade. Under their tutelage, Philadelphia International launched hit after hit from acts including The Intruders, MFSB, and The 3 Degrees. But in 1975, the bottom fell out when the label became caught up in a payola scandal. Probably not coincidentally, the duo's work began to suffer at the same time. And as the decade grew to a more disco sound, their classic Philly soul sound became to grow stale. Hits became increasingly rare, although in 1979, McFadden and Whitehead's single Ain't No Stopping Us Now was a significant return to form. Throughout the disco era, Philadelphia International's most consistent hitmaker was Teddy Pendergrass. But in the wake of his tragic 1982 car accident, which left him singer paralyzed, Gamble and Huff began to dissipate as well and rarely resurfaced to the records in the following years. But in the 70s, Gamble began to purchase rundown houses, and beginning with his own home, to improve the conditions in blighted areas in Philadelphia. By the early 90s, he purchased over 100 abandoned homes. He and his wife had moved from the suburbs back to the inner city in South Philly, where he grew up, in order to help rebuild the community. Gamble founded nonprofit Universal Companies to establish a workforce development center, offering adult education and job training to individuals of all skill levels, a construction company to provide training and jobs, and a business support center, a charter school, and other entities aimed at empowering the inner city and development in Philadelphia. Universal Community Homes provide low and moderate income families in Philadelphia with freshly built or refurbished homes at affordable prices. And the community revitalization programs Gamble launched nurtured and created hundreds of jobs, as well as 120 homes have been constructed or renovated and developed over 70,000 square feet of commercial space to support local needs. His charitable contributions earned him a humanitarian award by the Cancer Research Center and Hospital in Philly, and he also sits on the board of directors of the Philadelphia Music Foundation. They all three were inducted into the Philadelphia Music Hall of Fame and their Walk of Fame, with the Gambling Huff receiving many of the Philadelphia and Camden Area Civic Awards. The partners have been recognized with a Lifetime Achievement Grammy, were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1995, and received the Johnny Mercer Award, the highest award that you can receive in 2014. They also were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in the Philadelphia area, this brother is the epitome of what's called giving back. This is how I'm going to close this week's curtains. Thank you.
I've been trying to get to you for a long time. You're constantly, you've been on my mind. I was thinking about a shortcut I could take, but it seems like I made a mistake. Well, I was wrong. Ooh, took too long. I got caught in the rush hour. Fella started to shower you with love and affection. Now you won't look in my direction. On the expressway to your heart. That expressway, not the best way. At 5 o'clock, it's much too crowded. No, it's much too crowded. So crowded. It's much too crowded. Got caught in the rush hour. Bella started to shower you with love and affection. Won't you look in my direction? I'm expressway to your heart. That expressway, not the best way. At 5 o'clock, it's much too crowded. You know it's much too crowded. The whole crowd. Got caught in the rush hour. This fella started to shower you with love and affection. Come on, look in my direction. On the expressway to your heart. That expressway, not the best way. At 5 o'clock, it's much too crowded. Much too crowded. Go crowded. Oh,
Yes, and everybody, welcome back to the show. We are currently a little bit past the halfway point currently, but now we have to get into our definition, and I would like to introduce Mr. Chris, if he's here. Mr. Chris, go ahead, man.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Chris here. So my segment today is definitions. This segment provides the listeners with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Today, I chose the definition or the word to define identity. The Latin etymology, the etymology of the word identity, the origin is Latin for idem, meaning the same. And then the late Latin is identia, quality of being identical. The definition of identity, the fact of being or the characteristics determining who or what a person or a thing is. How this word relates to the African diaspora is the fact that beginning way back when civilization for Africans had an identity in Africa, West Africa, before slavery, there was indentured servitude, but relating to America, the Africans had lost an identity along the way due to indentured servitude, due to forced labor. So how that relates to today is those who don't have an identity kind of, who I want to say this is, the lack of identity stems from the history that our ancestors went through, being forced to do things outside of their will, you know, labor, sexual acts, things along that line. So we didn't have the power to, you know, do the things that we wanted to because of aggression and, you know, the oppression of the powers that be at the times. So it forced us into a loss of identity, something that we're trying to find our way back towards today with our community and with people along our side helping us, such as Jesse Jackson, like Walter spoke of, fighting for our civil rights, Martin Luther King, whom Jesse Jackson stood by during his reign, and people like Reverend Al Sharpton, who continues the work of civil activism today. So we're heading back towards a state of identity, understanding who we are, where we come from, utilizing our history. And, you know, we got to be more confident in what it is that we stem from today. You know, we don't have the same identity that our ancestors had. You know, it's a broken history, but we're getting close to it. We're getting back on track. So identity. And Mr. Ben, yeah. I'd like to introduce you back.
Yeah, no, that's that was a good segment. That was a good definition for you to talk about for today. I appreciate you for explaining that definition. And now I would like to transition to my definition for today. And my definition is something that we use multiple times on the show. But you know, I always want to give, you know, a reminder of just what we need to do as people, as people of color, and people in this country, especially in these times, and that's perseverance. And you know, as we're coming to the end of the first month of 2021, you know, we should always have goals we have set for the beginning of the year that we want to accomplish. And to be able to accomplish those goals, there's always going to be obstacles and difficulties that you're going to have to face to be able to accomplish. And, you know, you're going to have to persevere through those obstacles. You know, that's perseverance, you know, bypassing and overcoming, you know, difficulties and obstacles in your life. And also with the goals you're trying to set, you know, there's always going to be difficulties when you're trying to get to reach that goal. So, you know, I just want everybody, you know, especially today, just to remember that. And, you know, either if you believe in New Year's resolutions, you know, if you just want to help out, you want to be a more helpful person, you want to get more healthy, you want to accomplish something, you know, that's something that you need to set right now, and you need to go out and you need to go accomplish what you need to get done, you know, because we are in a trying time where, you know, it's not a lot of opportunity right now, and it's a lot of difficulties that's in the way of what we want to do. But, you know, we're going to always have to find a plan B. That's why having a backup plan, having plan Bs, having all a plan B for everything you do is very important, you know, for difficult situations like we're in currently of different ways you want to reach your destination, you want to reach your goal. You know, everything's not going to go perfectly as planned, but as long as you have different ways of getting there, you know, that's how you become successful in what you really want to do. So that's the message I want to put out for today, and I hope everybody understands, and I hope everybody learns something from that. And, you know, our definition again for today is perseverance. And this has been Walter Pierce, student host. Yes, and I would like to bring in Miss Tanisha Gardner right now and just ask you, you know, what you're thinking about the show right now. Like, can you sum up, I mean, what you have heard so far in today's show?
What I got from the show is you have to plan your work and work your plan. We have to know what we want for our communities and be able to plan it out and work and continue to work and keep passing on the legacy that we need. So we have to definitely go back to the beginning of who we are, and, you know, as kings and queens, and how we went through each level of disparities and also triumphs and victories, and be able to know what we want to see within the future. So that's what I got from everything.
Thank you. Thank you. And now I would like to actually continue on with my diamond piece and continue what I was saying on going on with Jesse Jackson. You know, there's still more to his career and what he has actually accomplished. So right here, I said, while some observers and governors, you know, frowned on his diplomatic missions, he was praised because he won praise for negotiating the release of U.S. soldiers and civilians around the world, including Syria, Iraq, and other places in the Middle East. In the 1980s, Jackson became a leading national spokesman and advocate for African Americans. His voter registration drive was a key factor in the election of Chicago's first African-American mayor, Arnold Washington, in April of 1983. The following year, Jackson ran for Democratic presidential nomination. During the campaign, he drew criticism for his relationship with Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, and for making a disparaging remark about the New York's Jewish community. Jackson later apologized for his comments and distanced himself from Farrakhan. In what was then the strongest showing ever by an African-American candidate, Jackson placed third in the primary voting. In 1988, he staged another bid for Democratic nomination and came in second to the party's eventual nominee, Michael Dukakis. Jackson's increasing influence with the Democratic Party ensured that African-American issues were an important part of the party's platform. Jackson, a dynamic orator, made memorable speeches at later Democratic conventions, but declined to run again for the presidency. President Bill Clinton named him a special envoy to Africa, where he traveled to promote human rights and democracy. That year, Jackson also founded Wall Street Project, which sought to increase minority opportunities in the corporate America. During the impeachment hearings against Clinton in 1998, Jackson counseled the president, and in 2000, Clinton awarded him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That year, Jackson also received a Master of Divinity degree from the Chicago's Theological Seminary. The following year, however, he became embroiled in controversy when it was revealed that he had fathered a child out of wedlock. Jackson continued his social activism, giving lectures and leading protests. And, you know, now that officially includes what I have for Jesse Jackson. And just, you know, again, you know, despite put aside of the controversy that he has been through, dealing with a lot of people, you know, besides that, you know, he's been very helpful, and he's politically, socially, you know, he's earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Bill Clinton. You know, he has had strong relations with countries from all around the world, you know, and also, you know, he's always been a person of change, person for change, and not scared to do it, even if it came with controversy. And, you know, again, just put all the controversy aside, I want to just, you know, we just got to highlight, you know, Jesse Jackson for all the amount of good things he has also done.
which helped a lot of people in this world, especially.
With 4 minutes left to our program, I like to do my own summation, starting at the beginning with the Kerner Commission's report and the disparities that still existed. One of the main problems for that not being actually resolved was the country continuously always said, I'm sorry, right now my constituency does not have enough money to actually eradicate those particular problems in the black community. And so for now, we're going to just have to bear down and bear hard to the best of our ability. And when we look at Chris talking about the definition of identity, all we have to do is look back to Africa and decide and figure out who we were before we were imprisoned as prisoners of war. You know, slavery, Chris, is a misnomer. It was worse than slavery. It was murderous, scandalous. And we do today know who we are if we choose to do the research to find out. Tanisha, thank you so much as always. And you know what? Without me even concluding, let me bring Mr. Harris in,
right?
Because I want to know what motivated you to choose Kenny Gamble today.
Well, Kenny Gamble is actually the writer of the theme song to Quest Community Radio, that If You Wake Up Everybody, he wrote that, and all the other songs that were kind of featured today were all products from the Philadelphia International soundtrack. And I went to school down in the Philadelphia area. That's why I kind of knew a little bit about what's going on with Kenny Gamble. He's been a a mainstay in the community for 50 years, and he's still kicking it.
Okay. Now, let's get one of the things that I didn't mention was Jesse Jackson. And, Walter, I just want you to know, Jesse Jackson inspired millions to aspire to become president, and he blazed the trail for who we know today as Barack President, leader of the free world, Barack Obama. Let's have Calvin come on in and let us know what you think about the show for today.
Good morning, everyone. The show was very informative. I'm actually also a big fan of Kenny Gamble and the Philadelphia Sound, to go back then. Great reporting on Jesse Jackson. All you guys are great. Have a great day. Have a peaceful day. And have a safe and pleasant Martin Luther King Day.
Thank you so much. Tanisha, you get a quick 30-second last word piece.
Know who you are and keep fighting and doing what you do.
Thank you so much for being part. Chris, you get a quick 10-second summation.
Absolutely. Turn towards our freedom fighters and understand that there's a purpose beyond what it is they're doing.
Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is on 89.5 FM, Seton Hall. And make sure, you know, tune in every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to listen to the show. But besides that, Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
Oh, it is. Thank you.